to the Mantic Universe podcast. I'm Clem, and today Chris is not here, is a bit sick, and instead I'm joined by Dave.
Hi there.
And Scott.
Hi.
And today we want to talk about a project that we have that we named Fast Grow Holiday Season 2023. So you guys might know a bit what we mean by this, but we will discuss this a bit more in depth over the whole episode and try to get you excited about it and get you on board and come have fun, make a Kings of Our Army with us. So first things first, Mantic has agreed to create a special code for us for the web store. So if you use FASTMUP15, you will get 15% off of one purchase per customer, and it's valid until the end of February, because till the end of February is the time frame of this Fast Grow. Maybe you guys can say a quick word of introduction. Scott, you've been on the Mantic Universe podcast already, but maybe you could still say a quick hi.
Hi, I'm Scott, also known as Palette of War. So I did some painting tips with Chris on a few episodes back. So looking forward to doing a few more. I think that's in the pipeline of doing some special episodes on hobby tips, I think.
Absolutely, and we met in September during Clash of Kings. Same thing with Dave. Dave, do you want to present yourself, your gaming background, everything? And
do you want more historical background or just a basic lead in?
Well, as you feel. Now feel free to just say a hi to everybody, and as you feel, buddy.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I've been gaming for a long, long time, back since the late 80s on. But had kids, dropped gaming to play board games for a while, and with lockdown rediscovered all my Warmaster armies in the loft, and that got me back into the scene again. And last year I picked up the starter set for the Rift 4 Dwarks, but mainly the Halflings, and got building a Halfling army, which is what I fielded at Clash this year, and had a fantastic time building it. So something like this is a really nice start again with a definite goal, and the company as well. That's what I'm really looking forward to, is working together and the encouragement to build it. Certainly looking forward to this as a project.
Great. Yeah. I'm just curious, how did you get to pick up this this particular startup? Like, did someone tell you, hey, Kings of War is awesome, just give it a try, or did you like the artwork, or how did you fall into this rabbit hole?
It's got a good reputation as a clean set of rules and a good set of rules. And on the historical side, I've been enjoying games like Black Powder and Pike and Shot, which are very convoluted set of rules. Rick Priestley writes them, and he likes to add in lots and lots of comments and fluff and things like that. And I enjoy them because it gives a good game. But I was curious about Mantic, and that took me down the line. And once I bought the starter army, I just carried on going. And fortunately, Ambush arrived just after then, which gave me the goal of starting with a smallish army. And there was another guy at the local club where I played who had an Empire army from Games Workshop, and he wanted to try Kings of War as well. So we just worked together, basically, as I painted up my Halflings. And painting various permutations, because Halflings are ravenous and Halflings are tinkers, and so I could build different armies out of that. And you're right, they were right. The rules are very straightforward, but there's so much to learn in playing. So they're easy to learn, so you're not hamstrung by getting caught out all the time. You do get caught out, but that's because you're not that experienced. But you're caught out once, you learn, and you just move on from there. So it's a really nice set of rules.
It's true. Like they really say, it's simple to learn, hard to master, and it sounds like a gimmick, like a marketing gimmick, but it actually rings true. Cool. Yeah. Now that's interesting. So you actually started your local Kings of War gaming group or something, right? Like no one was playing Kings of War, like right in your club.
At the club, yes. There'd been mentions every now and then. One chap had his son who wanted to play. He had some dwarves. And so I said, well, look, I'm keen on learning how to play. Who would play with me? And there was a chap established at the club who had an ogre army. Let me have a try with that while he had a Kingdoms of Men. So that was my first proper big game. But he doesn't come down to the club regularly, whereas the chap with the Empire army did. And I just said, does anyone want to play? And that's where it grew from. At times we've had sort of two or three tables going with people playing. I've been handing out those ambush rule sets, the reduced rule sets that we picked up from Clash. People have been taking those away and promising to start armies, and one or two have and one or two haven't, and plenty of dugout old Games Workshop armies as well, both just a chance to play. So yeah, it has been ticking along nicely.
That's pretty good. So I think one big motivation of today's episode and the whole Fast Grow project, on top of course of having fun and like a good discussion with friends and also fun with miniatures later, is obviously to hire new players into the game.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree that up until Ambush, the main issue with Kings of War was it's a bit hard to start from zero and go to 2,300 points. And Ambush was really brilliant in that regard. But still, I mean, I'm thinking about some Ambush goblin lists, and it still represents a significant amount of miniatures. And it can be a bit daunting when it's the first time that you actually go from a skirmish game to a mass battle army system to, how can I tackle this project and how can I achieve this with, you know, life, work, kids, maybe, and everything. And so, yeah, the Fast Grow is intended to solve this issue.
Yeah.
So, maybe very quickly, what is even a Fast Grow? So obviously it's a pun on the usual slow grow concept. For those of you who might not know what it is, usually it's a group project where people commit to painting X amount of points, of army points each month. So for example, 250 points for their army. And after a certain amount of months, for example, 9, if you take 250 points, you have a fully painted army. And obviously this is kind of to try to create a social obligation, like there's a group effort, a group dynamic, to actually keep going at it and keep crunching and painting through models over a few months and basically reach the top of the mountain that is maybe not that tall of a mountain, but still a mountain that is a 2,300 point painted army. And but I don't know if you guys have participated in any slow growth for Kings of War or other systems, but in my experience, I find that they don't really work so well. The main issue being that there's a huge amount of dropouts. Maybe people have a pretty low attention span. I don't know. Maybe something else just doesn't work quite right with the usual slow grower. Just every month have to do basically a similar thing. But in my opinion, it doesn't work so well. What's your experience with slow growers, or do you have stories to share about them maybe?
Yeah, I came into Kings of War through Ambush. I think it was this time last year. Always played Warhammer, getting overwhelmed with the rules. And a chap from the club, he'd been dabbling with Kings of War for a while, but never actually had anybody to play with. And he got to know Johnny, who's not at Mantic anymore, and it got to get know him quite well. And he offered his discount, and then we started to do our own slow grow and did videos for YouTube, which helped us keep on top of painting the units and the armies for our slow grow, which was the start of my Clash of Kings army. So see where everyone comes from there. You get a few people that drop out and you get overwhelmed and whatnot. So these slow grows, they have the benefits, but they also have the downfalls of, you say, people dropping out, people getting overwhelmed. And this Fast Grow it's come at the right time for me because I'm struggling with my Riftforged Orcs, which I need to get done for Clash of Kings. So this Fast Grow, doing a small ambush list, will help me get a few units knocked out in a short space of time.
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming at a good time. After Clash, I was so enthused. I was talking about it to my Warmaster friends, historical Wargamer friends. One of them was keen to get started, so he bought the Sons of Amun starter set, which I'd already bought to get my hands on the rule set, and I was interested in the ogres, and he wanted to do Empire of Dust, so we just did a straight swap of figures, and he's started painting. We played a couple of games with my halflings, just split in half, but I have started assembling ogres because there's a few less figures to paint than goblins, so there's a start for me. And I'm keen to get going with that, and actually this is coming at a good time. I had been holding back. I've assembled the figures, I've undercoated a bunch of them because this is England. I'm expecting wet, damp weather, which has finally seemed to be arriving, but I've got a nice pile of a couple of small boxes of ogres, all undercoated, primed, ready to go and start painting them. So this will come in at just the right time to get me going on that, and get it's certainly an ambush army going quickly, and maybe a couple of other units just to experiment with some crossbowmen or some boomers or some chariots or siege breakers or something like that. And we'll see how that goes. It'll help that Darren will be building his Empire of Dust along at the same time.
It definitely helps, yes, when there's kind of a group dynamic, and you get a big infusion of motivation when you see other people also getting into it. And if it's local players, then it's even better, because you know we can play games later on. Yeah, for me, so in general, I like doing group projects like this, because I think it's a fun part of the hobby as well, where you still get to paint your models and assemble your models on your own at home, but you still feel like you're part of a larger community, and you can, you know, chat about how you paint this and how you build that, but also at the same time, you know, have a good time and chat about other things with friends. So I think it's a good opportunity. And in particular for this one, well, as you guys probably have heard in the previous episodes, I've been moving last September, and all my hobby has been in boxes and in a chaotic environment, and life has been busy. And so I basically haven't painted a model in months now. And so this will be for me the occasion to, okay, I have a project. I need to get this, and this out of my boxes, or buy this, and this, and get it done. And hopefully I can get back to this hobby that I enjoy. Right, so...
If you're struggling, Chris is on 5 paint at the minute. So just send him to Chris. He's smashing him out at the minute.
That's true. Yeah, he started setting up a bit of hobby desk again, because he's been in this, well, not moving houses, but also not being able to do much hobby lately. But he's getting back into it, that's for sure. And obviously he's not here tonight, but he will participate in the Fast Grow, and he will make an army for it. As always, it will be done 10 days from the start, and the rest of us humans will take the whole 3 months to get where we want to be or close. But he's definitely taking part.
I certainly find the painting chat groups really help a lot. I got a lot of my halflings painted, linking in with a mainly historical group who just used to meet once a month. And it would just let me know that by that time I'd be sitting down and painting and chatting and comparing notes, how to unstick my plastic glue nozzle, which had got completely gummed up, and things, just all those little hints and tips that come along. And I'm looking forward to having your input in that, Scott, as well, from the painting side as well.
There's always something to learn, for sure.
I'm still learning stuff now, so you never stop.
All right. So how does it even work? So as I mentioned, a normal... slow grow is focused on how many points you do each month or whatever period is chosen. Some of them might be over 2 weeks periods. The fast grow is a different approach, and instead functions in phases. And it's actually quite simple. There are only 3 phases. The phase 1 is the planning. The phase 2 is the execution. And the phase 3 is enjoy and expand. So it sounds kind of stupid. You know, it's kind of like the joke of how do you draw a very advanced character? There's, you draw a circle, then you add 2 lines on it, and then the third picture is like the fully finished, very artistic picture. So it's kind of something like this. Like there's a bit of magic and tricks in the middle, but still, I've done something similar, like a fast grow, or organized a bit like this previously for the local Kings of War group for our half-scale armies. and it worked quite well. So that's what I'm trying to replicate here. So the first phase, the planning, the idea is, instead of just running into, oh, I want to make a goblins army, so I'll just buy a box of goblins, or I bought this starter a while ago, so why don't I do this army that I already have, and just don't really know where you're going with it. The idea is to, right at the start, take some time to think about how you're going to do and what you're going to do very precisely to optimize a bit how you approach things. So the first step is to write a list. And so obviously, if that's the first list that you write ever, you might want to chat with people. So I think everyone will be happy on the Facebook groups, either on the Fanatics or on the Mantic Universe Podcast Facebook group, to check your lists and give you advice about how to build, I don't know, ogres list or Riftforge Orcs list at the Ambush format. And once you come up with a list, maybe give it a quick try with proxy models. It's done, and you do not change it at all until you've painted all of this and played at least a few games with it. And the first time that I've done it, it actually felt quite magical for me. I don't know if you guys have also approached like your list building like this, or if you change things all the time, all around. But I tend to be a bit neurotic about it, like, oh, what about I change this unit? And what about I change this? Oh, why did I build the horde of those? I actually wanted the regiment, or I wanted the other option, or whatever. And it actually is quite liberating if you take some time to think about it, then make a decision, and then move on. What do you guys think?
I went with the simple method when I first started. I just picked the models I liked and I played them. Didn't really look at the rules. I picked the models that I liked because I knew I was going to enjoy painting them, which made the process a little bit easier. And then once I'd got my head around the rules and I painted the models I liked, I then went into tweaking the list and putting units in, taking units out. But yeah, I started with writing my first ambush list. I think it was 400 points of just my favourite models from the Salamanders.
Right. I think I took the slow start in painting loads and loads of halflings, then got tired of doing that, so worked out how few I could paint by making multi-bases instead of trying to build 20 strong regiments. And then getting into the more expensive specialised units. After that, it was sort of the final rush was just finishing them, and the army went from about 750 points to about 1,800-1,900 in no time at all, once I was building harvesters and winged arrowlers and obviously the iron beast as well. So I think a different change around this time. I understand the rules better now. So but yes, I'll certainly have a go at that idea of fixing an army, building that, and then after that I can start playing with other ideas.
I mean, so when I reflect about my first actual Kings of War army was the Forces of the Abyss, and it started as a Vanguard warband, and the expansion from that was completely chaotic because I didn't really know the rules yet. So I lacked some models, or I thought, oh, I will definitely need 200 lower abyssals, and so yes, I want the army and the mega army and something else on top. And then I built all of them and I started painting in batches of 20 models at a time. I didn't want a multi-base because I wasn't entirely too sure. Biggest mistake ever. They're all individually based now. But anyway, and so, yeah, I think for me at least, committing to a given list also is a fun challenge. And for example, for my 10mm army, so the previous one that I've done using a similar principle, I had a concept for the army. I wanted as many skeletons as I could fit in the list, and then whatever happens with it, you know, like it's going to be a terrible undeads list because no one plays skeletons because they suck, right? But it doesn't matter. It's a 10 mil army. It's cheap. It's easy to make. It's easy to store. I'll play twice with it and put it on the side and do something else. But instead, it turns out I started really thinking about this. Okay, I have this theme. How do I fit them? What can I put around to make an actually interesting list and also cool list to build and paint? And it's probably not the list that would win Clash of Kings, especially not if I play them. But it was surprisingly good and surprisingly efficient. And it was also a bit of a challenge in a way to play it. Like, it plays differently than what I would have written if I was just thinking, okay, what's the latest hotness for Undeads? Okay, I have to have whites. I have to have Soul Reavers. Well, I do have Soul Reavers in the list. That's a bad example. But to me, at least, as part of the fast grow, the writing your list once during the preparation phase and never changing it is also kind of a challenge, forcing you guys to really commit to something. Like, think about it, make a decision, and then commit to it, and don't touch it for the next 3 months. So yeah, the next thing you need to do during the planning phase is obviously think about which models you will need and how you will get them, or maybe dive into your pile of opportunity and get some models that you haven't had the chance to assemble and use in an army yet. But for me, it's also I like to look at the army boxes or the starter sets from Mantic and think, okay, what cool 750 point army list I can build with that, and how can I make a balanced list or interesting list with this faction. So that's the second big point of the planning phase. And the third point, which I think is also very important to help you for the execution phase, is think about the theme of your army. And that means, how will you paint your models? Like, what colors do you want to use? What techniques potentially you want to use? What type of bases you want to create? And I know Chris hates, or he doesn't believe in test models, but I'm a big fan of it, because I don't want to commit to painting 40, 50, 60 models for results that I'm not happy with ultimately. Like, I just don't like how the colors look. And so, yeah, I think the planning phase, also you really need to figure out your color scheme and your techniques, and maybe also optimize your process. I mean, Scott, you've been painting Richford Orcs with a pretty advanced method, right?
Yes.
How much do you hate yourself at this stage?
Every ounce of my living waking self. I'm excited with the process I'm doing, but then I kind of, like, it's like the end of November and I've already touched my Riftforged Orcs and Clash is getting closer, and the method I've chose isn't the simplest. For the people that don't know, I'm doing non-metallic metals for the armor on Riftforged Orcs, because Riftforged Orcs don't have that much armor. So yeah, no, I thought, well, no better way to push myself and push my limits than try and do non-metallic metals on an army that 80% of the model is metallic.
Yeah.
Let's say I've got methods that will make it easy when I'm painting the regiments and whatnot. They're all going to be non-metallic, but for regiments, I'll be putting more effort in the front line than I will be doing in the two back lines, because your opponent's only going to really see the front line that you're charging them or facing them. They're going to be the ones that catch the eyes first, so they'll get more attention than the rest of the models, but I'll still put effort into the rest of them. But yeah, and quite a lot of wet blending on the skins, and I'm doing silly ideas with the, I know it's not good for the chat.
But you can also post some pictures on the Facebook group later so that we can see them, but you've posted some already, right? So
with the bases, I'm going with like the rift theme of them walking out of like a mountain valley, and then all the rift is exploding around them with all this purple pink magic making rocks and bodies float. And I have got one cool idea for either a regiment or a horde of the rift walkers, where I'm going to try and cut a few of the models in half and use like a UV resin to make it look like some of them are actually physically walking out the rift on the base as well.
Sounds pretty cool.
That sounds fantastic. I remember being so impressed by your by those rollers you used for your salamanders, for the bases.
Yeah, the texture rollers for the salamanders, for the temple bases, there we.
No, you definitely got the eye for the detail and the artistic side of it. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's also what sometimes can make an army really work, like from an aesthetic perspective, is finding the right concept, right? Like, it's not necessarily just about being the best painter in the world, but if you have an idea and it's executed reasonably well and it fits an aesthetic, it can be a very simple job, a very quick job, but it still looks like a gorgeous army, right? We're not doing, you know, display pieces. We're doing gaming pieces, and there's a beauty to having a fully painted army. Like, if you look at Chris's model, I'm going to talk shit and I shouldn't. If you look at every single one of his models, they're not painted very well, but when you put them all on the table, they look gorgeous as a whole army. And so, yeah, I think that's another important part when you are planning your army, is kind of figure out which tricks, if I may say, call it so, you're going to use to make it look good as an army without driving you insane because you're trying to paint the eyeballs of every goblin or something.
Yeah, that's one thing. What you don't remember, that your opponent's going to see your model from 3-4 feet away, so you don't have to paint the eyes of every single model. And yeah, put the extra detail in T-Hero and the individual models, but your hordes, your regiments, don't waste your time putting the eyes on every single model. Probably do it to the couple at the front, but the ones at the back, you can, if you're really struggling, the ones at the back, don't even paint the legs, because you ain't going to see them when they're...
Yeah, leave basic colors. I mean, I remember also in my first projects, I realized afterward how much effort I actually wasted, because when you don't really know what you're doing, you might do a layer and then you wash, and then you dry brush, and then you're not happy with it, and then you change something or do another wash. And after a while, you're like, why did I spend time 3 steps ago? It doesn't show in the end result, or that's to do highlights on the boots of the soldiers, and it's a regiment of 20. That makes zero sense. There is zero impact on the army looking good, although I've spent a lot of time. It's kind of like when you paint War Master armies as well, Dave, right? Like, you will paint the base colors on all the strips, maybe, and then when you assemble them, you will only add details and more highlights to what you can actually see, and actually embellishes the regiments, like, or the base, the stand in the case of War Master. But in Kings of War, like, the whole unit, once it's multi-based, maybe you can, if you're unhappy about some details, or like you find some sloppy parts, you can probably fix it after the fact, and only what actually is necessary to fix, or what you're unhappy with, and you don't have to be perfect for every single layer, every single model.
Yeah, with War Master, it's detail on the front of the front rank, and maybe a little bit on the back of the rear rank, but otherwise just the basic colors on them.
All right, so that's about it for phase one, right? Like, write your list, prepare your purchases, or gather all the models that you already have purchased a while ago, and then think about your strategy, like colors and how you will paint it and what it will look like and how you will make it look like a cool army. And then step two, well, it's simple. It's just do it, right? I guess you guys are very happy with the advice. It's been very helpful. But it sounds dumb, but it actually sometimes is just what it is, right? Like, you need to take some time to actually sit at your hobby desk or however you're doing your hobby, and just work on it. There are obviously a few tricks that we can share and discuss, and that also will probably forget some of those, and you guys, you listeners, could share your tips and tricks on the Facebook group, or whenever we'll do a live group hobby sessions. That's also the prime time to just exchange all those juicy tips to make it go faster or just go nicer. But I think from my perspective, one trick is try to keep it, or to make it playable as soon as possible. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but when I kind of can see the end result, or like, okay, I will have a good time playing this army, like, I like how it plays, and oh, I like how I've built my bases, even if there's just one model on it, it already gives me some of the satisfaction of having this army almost ready. I just need to paint 19 more models and then I have a full regiment. For me, this early reward is crucial to getting me going.
This is Ronnie Renton, and you are listening to the Mantic Universe podcast.
Yeah, something that helps me is I tend to do the bases first, because if you're doing all the models and then you come to the base, it's something that you're less likely to put more effort into. Whilst you got that energy and enthusiasm, if you do the base first, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be a lot happier with how the model is on the base at the end. I said that helps me a lot, of because then you can plan where a model's going to go. You're not painting all these models up and then thinking, oh, what do I do on the base? If you do the base first, you then can plan which model's going to go where on the base. And for me personally, that process makes it easy for me doing the base first.
You can even like assemble the models once the bases are made, right? Like that's what I've done for my Empire of Dust. Like I just have a small ambush army. And it actually is quite nice. Like you can really think of the unit as a whole. And yes, I like starting with the base. What about you, Dave? What's your secret?
That sounds like a good idea to me, because I started and played with them on bases that I just had a coat of paint on. But come August, as it was getting closer to the clash, I suddenly started basing them. And it's amazing just how much better it made them all look. But I realized what I hadn't done, partly because I was doing 22 regiment initially and things like that, was the more artistic, interesting types of bases, and the ones that save you figures and things like that, but still look interesting too. So I having seen your system, Scott, with the rollers that you did in your bases, I was desperately looking for something that might have suited halflings, but actually there wasn't really. I think they're quite... certainly you had the Aztec type for yours, which is great.
Yeah.
And there were obviously a lot of World War II or modern style bases, but nothing that had rolling fields for the halflings. So I just went back to doing the normal grit and sand, and then PVA and grass on top of that, because my halflings like to be in fields. With the ogres, I'll have to give that some thought and see what I can come up with for that. But certainly creating the bases first is a good idea.
I think it's a bit challenging, at least for me, like to come up with a good idea or something I'm happy with. I have to also confess, the fuller unit is, the happier I am. Like I definitely don't want to have one big rock and then three models that are just put on the side to it. To me, it's not really satisfying. Like I really want to. That's why I also love Warmaster or like this games at this scale, because you do see, oh no, it's a real army. Like there are a bunch of things on the table. But yeah, I think there's so much liberty somehow, right, when you build your bases. When you build the models, well, okay, if you go with Mantic's halflings, well, there's a range, and that's what the range is. Of course, you can do some conversions, you can choose to include this unit or not, but that's about it, right? Whereas when you're thinking about basing, well, if you want to build, I don't know, like a Hobbit's village, or like whatever, maybe they're in a different area, like on lava bases would be maybe a bit weird, but why not, if you can come up with a justification for it. Like it's fully open, right? It's and with immense freedom comes I don't know what the real saying is, it's kind of scary. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, Gad's halflings were most of his art units in kitchens.
Yes, yeah, over tables and things. Yeah
yes.
Right. Yeah, yes. So there's a lot of options here, and I guess you don't have necessarily to make very sophisticated bases. Like it's perfectly fine. Like my Night Stalkers, for example, they're on PVA and sand and dry brush and a few tufts here and there and some static grass, and it looks all right. You know, it's not you don't have to be the best hobbyist and make a very convoluted diorama for every single unit, but yeah, it can really orient how you build your army. And for me, at least, for both my Salamanders and the Empire of the past two armies that I've built, having the bases first and then play on top of this was quite helpful. Cool. The other thing that we've mentioned already for this phase two was plainly named execution is rely as much as possible on the group momentum, because it's easy to get excited when you start or say, okay, I'm going to start with this project and I'm going to spend one evening and I'll assemble some models or I'll paint a test model. And maybe something doesn't work as expected, or then the week after you're a bit too busy, and then this after that, and you end up not making any progress for 2 months on an army. I think been there, done that. And so one of the trick of the fast grow is obviously when we say just execution, like just do it, we're not saying do it on your own, but also participate in all of the group activities that we will try to organize. So post working progress pictures on the Facebook group, you know, comment on people who post pictures of their own working progress, and be part of the community, I think is, for me at least, a very important element to keep motivated. Dave, you mentioned also you've done a once a month type of hobby, like group hobby stuff that was helpful for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That certainly is. And the momentum and the way you're proposing to do it, it's really a symbiotic thing in that we're encouraging each other, we're teaching, we're learning, we're working together, we've got a goal. And the nice thing about an ambush army is, with the longer term goal for me of being something for Clash of Kings, is the fact that I can go for it. Like you say, basic army, just go for that, because I'll be using all the figures regardless. And then with experience, perhaps then expand it from 750 to 1,000 to 1,250. And yeah, just to have those extra things to try and then see how it grows from there. Yeah.
I mean, from that perspective, I'm sure whatever list you build for 750 points has a very high chance of being the core of your 2,300 points army, right? Yeah. Like you will build regiments and troops and like the core heroes, maybe a monster or something like this, that you most definitely will use later on. And it just gives you the opportunity to have a nice milestone where you can already play with it. You already see how it functions as a maybe a battle group. Like these few units that you have for this 750 points army, or 500 points army if you want to make Mark Zielinski happy.
Yeah.
This is a functioning entity in your 2,300 point list. And so the ambush games that you play already with this smaller army teaches you in a way how they will operate later on within the larger army, right? So no, I think that's a very good point as well. The other elements, of course, of doing this fast grow between December, January, and February is it's the holiday season. And hopefully you guys will have some time off and some vacation. I certainly will have plans to take some days off in December. So that's a time where you know everyone potentially is not working and might have time to do some hobby. On the other hand, it's also a time where potentially you're super busy traveling to visit family or hosting family. Or on the other side of this, maybe you don't have that and you might feel a bit lonely. So part of the idea with the fast grow events and the live hobby sessions like that we'll do on Discord or whatever platforms we find that work for us is also to integrate within this special time of the year. And so if you're a bit overwhelmed, you know, at the Christmas dinner with grandma or the racist uncle or the brat's nephew or whoever that is bothering you and need some time off, well, you get a good excuse. You could say, well, this evening I need to go with the guys and paint some models and work on this. Or if you're a bit lonely, well, at least you have something to look forward to and join us to do some hobby. So for me, that's also something that I particularly appreciate. I've done similar group hobby things like this in the end of year season, and it's always been very, very nice. A nice time to connect with friends. Do you guys have any similar experiences as well, or what's your position on this, or your sentiment on this?
Yeah, and I certainly would be happy. My only experience so far is using Zoom to do it. You mentioned Discord. I imagine it's the same. We're using Skype now. It'll be similar to that as well. And certainly, in a way, the rest of the family know I'm busy painting or doing whatever or chatting, and they're always quiet around there. The dogs and cats, not quite so much, but so it goes. But yeah, it'll make a nice break because there's plenty of time to be with family over Christmas, but also time when other people just want to watch TV or watch something there together or go down to the pub. And every now and then I'll have some spare time and space, and that'll be nice. So I guess, how are you planning to do it? Will you just set up a rolling schedule of things?
Or? So we haven't decided yet, right? It's also up to us participants to find whatever works for us and whatever we're happy to do. I think we'll most likely announce on the Facebook group, for example, hey, this Thursday, if you guys want to do some hobbying, well, I'll be on this Discord server or like on this video chat facility starting from 8 p.m. Germany time, and I'll be working on my ambush stuff and join whenever you can. And usually in these things, yeah, some people come early, some people arrive much later, some people just drop by for 10 minutes to have a quick chat, some people stay the whole 2 hours or however long this thing lasts. And I think, again, you guys know how unorganized we are in the Mantic Universe podcast. We're not coming here with a very well-established recipe and here's how it's going to be. It's more, hey, this is what we're trying. Join us if you feel like it, and come with your ideas and suggestions, and we'll happily implement them or like add them onto the pile of what we're building together. So yeah, in practice, probably, I don't know, Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, or during the weekend. And also maybe just depending on what people post on the group. And personally, also locally, I would like to also do an in-person hobby session. And so I've already started talking with people in the club, like, hey, who's around second half of December? And maybe we can meet up in the shop or at home or in my workplace where I can get some space and play some games or do some hobby. And yeah, just organize these type of meetups and kind of reinforce the local group, because at least in my local group, I think there's a lot more than just we play games every now and then together. There's also lots of good chats and like good friends and meeting up to also paint models. It's not something we have the occasion to do so regularly during the year because everyone's busy with different schedules. And the hope is that, second half of December, we will find some free time when no one is working and get together and do some hobbies. So same to you guys. Maybe it's a good opportunity to get away from family or whatever else you're doing for the holiday and meet up with your gaming buddies and put some paint on models or assemble stuff and have a good time.
Yeah, that's it. I'm quite lucky because we've got a regular Wednesday night gaming down at the local club where I'm holding the tournament. There's normally three or four of us that are there regular on a Wednesday. So I'm quite lucky in that aspect. But I'm pretty sure I'll be able to organise either a week, a Saturday or a Sunday, or even if it is a Wednesday of opening it up and saying, look, if you're in the Midlands area in Burton-on-Trent, not too far for you to travel to in the UK, then come down, bring your ambush sets, have a play. Even if you want to bring your dead zone, come down, have a play. Or if you just want to come down and chat, just come down and chat. But we are trying. I need to discuss with my friend Dave. We two of us do want to try and do a Saturday or a Sunday and play a Siege game. So that's what we want to try and do before Christmas, is just have a crazy Siege game.
That's a good opportunity for it. Yes, yes.
Great. And another one we were trying it, we were contemplating. We're seeing if we could get people down and probably laying 4 6x3 tables out and just having 8v8 on these tables at either ambush size or whatnot, and just have a mega battle for a Sunday afternoon or something, and just see what happens.
That's also pretty cool. Yeah, we've done 3 2,300 point army per side on 12x4. It's a big mess, obviously, and you have to speed up play a little bit, like not try to be too tactical about every single detail. But it also looks really nice. That's yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's got to be a lot of dice thrown in something like that. So
yeah, I mean, also at some point you realize, okay, there's three of us on each side. That's kind of three games in parallel, right? With some interactions sometimes, but otherwise you can. It's not like you follow every single action, like every six people just follow one particular action at a time. And yeah, you can speed up things a little bit. And maybe you will gather everyone, oh, come here, there's a critical nerve roll right here. Or, hey, should I take this risky charge or not? And then there's kind of the advantage from the group battle. But, yeah, I think I agree with Chris on this, though. The doubles is the best format, because yeah, you do get the benefit from, like, you do play with a teammate. But it's still manageable in terms of size. I mean, it's lovely to also do like the gigantic, ridiculous battle, but you know that it's kind of for show, and it's in terms of the actual gaming experience, some of it is a bit harder to. I mean, it will take you the whole afternoon, right? That's the main difference.
Yeah, we found that worked well at the club. We were at one stage playing two 750-point ambush games side by side, and eventually we just merged them into one big 1,500, just with two 750 armies, two generals per side.
Yes.
It was a lot easier because I guess those of us who knew the rules weren't being pulled over to the other table as much, because you're all on the same table.
Absolutely. No, it's notes as you had. I think that's a very, very good format, and we've played like this a few times with Chris, and we will in the future, and I guess in the next events that we play with Ambush, we'll do that again. Yeah. All right. So I think that's about it for the phase two. Again, there are a few tricks to it, but ultimately it's just do it and enjoy it, like doing it with friends, and ask questions and show off what you've been doing, and be proud of the progress that you make on your models. And the third step, well, there's almost no step, right? It's just enjoy the army that you're building or that you've built. And I think for me, at least, the playing a few games as soon as possible aspect is quite important, because you might realize, well, okay, I haven't finished all of the highlights on this unit, but it's already fine, I can play with it. And if you have a good time with the army, at least for me, that's how I function. Maybe it's different for other people's, but if I have a good time with an army like this, or like I play a couple of games and it's not fully finished, or I realize I want to push it a bit further, I have a lot more motivation afterward to get back to it. The other thing is, obviously, if you already do have a deadline, like there's a gaming day that you have already organized with your buddies for sometime in February, well, you do need to have an army for that. So I think a big part of this third step is put a bit of fire under everyone's ass and set a deadline with a gaming day. And I don't know how it is for you, or maybe you have a more regular meetup already, but I know in the gaming group in Berlin, most of us play a bunch of different games. Some of us sometimes are too busy with work and life, and so they don't participate. And so if we don't make the effort of saying, okay, in 3 weeks or in 2 months or whatever, let's have a Kings of War gaming day, well, we might spend some time without playing for a while. And so putting it in the calendar as early as possible, I think, is a good strategy. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think I definitely need to do that. I have got my one friend who's definitely joining and aiming to have his Empire of Dust ready for Clash, and he's building away at that. There's a couple of other guys in our group who are busy waiting for the new Warhammer to arrive. But perhaps if I say it's not going to be here by February, I'm pretty sure. Say to the guys, they may as well start getting their armies ready, but we'll field them and we'll have ourselves a Kings of War tournament. They can get to play a bit more Kings of War. At least it's a system that's there and ready to go. And we may well convert them as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the meantime, why not get started? I know some local players also are waiting for the Old World. Some of them are already painting the army, like they've or they've been painting or completing their existing collection from, you know, long time in the past, and just to have something ready, because when the rules drop, well, you won't suddenly have a finished army unless you've started quite a while ago. And so, yeah, it sounds like a good plan, Dave. What about you, Scott?
So not really touched on Old World, but my Riftforged Orcs need to get out of the box and done. We've got a few at the club that I've got. Wezu is a local one to us. He was the first time at Clash of Kings. I taught him ambush, I think it was 3 weeks before Clash of Kings, and then he went Clash of Kings to play in the tournament. So he had like one or two ambush games before going, just so he could get his head around the core rules. And then, like you say, it was his first tournament, like it was mine. And we've also got Melissa, who's the owner of the club that we game out on a Wednesday night. She's not decided on her army yet, but she's coming along and going to play at Clash of Kings, and we're slowly teaching her to play through ambush as well. So, well, yeah, once she's picked her army and that'll be a good one for her. To say she's never really done any form of war, tabletop war gaming. This will be her first experience of proper war gaming, and then being thrown in at the deep end at Clash of Kings with a small 200 people.
I think there are worse environments to get started, right?
A lot worse. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah, I'll say now. Clash of Kings was my first tournament I ever played in. Up until then, I'd played loads more ambush games than I had full scale games of Kings of War. And the six games over that weekend, I learned far more than I did playing all them games in the year leading up to it. Them six games were, it changed my, because the first few games for me at Clash, I was think to myself, why have I chose salamanders? They're not working. And then in the third game, something clicked because somebody said something to me. And then I went from losing terribly to almost drawing, and then almost drawing again, and then tabling somebody in the last two games, just because one thing clicked with the army, which I wasn't utilizing properly.
I had the same experience. I mean, not at Clash, the previous tournament, but finally understanding how my army works, or at least with my playstyle, like for the after the third game, like making the same mistake three times and realizing, wait a second, maybe that's a mistake. Maybe next game I'll try this instead. Oh my God, that looks great. I'm so excited to try it. And great news, you do get to try it right away, because it's a pretty intensive weekend. Like, you do play all day long, right? Like three games in a day is quite intense, but it's also awesome. So
yeah.
My biggest mistake was I kept forgetting my fire drake had nimble.
Yes,
and as soon as I remembered it had nimble, it turned the game for me, and it just made him, I know he's not a massive threat, but when you've got a dragon that moves 20 inches and then can stare down the flank of any unit in the first turn, it's then thinking, well, do I take the dragon out, or do I face the rest of the army that's still slowly coming across the table? It just
makes a little difference. Like that.
Yeah.
Yes, Dave?
No, it was just a bit like Scott. It was, I played quite a few small ambush games, but you don't see the whole picture that way. But the thing is, too, the people that you're competing against at a game like Clash, the first couple of games are against usually pretty much higher level players before you get down to your basic level, and then it's fine. But you just learn so much, partly because you're just driving the whole beast properly now, and also just because you're seeing how other people are reacting to you and how they're using their troops, and the tips they give you afterwards. Say, why did you do this, or why did you do that? Oh, yeah, didn't think about that, but now you know. like you say, Scott, yeah. you just learn. It's a great way to learn.
Yeah, well, you also see different play styles and different people and different armies that you probably have never played against, like especially if you're relatively new to the game. You definitely learn new tricks and see new things on the table. That's absolutely true. All right, so where do we go from here? Well, I guess I think I can say the Fast Grow Holiday Season 2023 is officially open. The phase one starts right now. So you guys should write a list, plan your purchases, or organize your pile of opportunity, plan your color schemes and techniques and bases. And a reminder, Mantic has agreed to give us a special code for the web store. If you're missing a couple of boxes or if you start a completely new project, so FASTMUP15. And it's good for one purchase, and you can use it till the end of February to get 15% off of your purchase. One thing I wanted to say as well is, again, all of this is about the community and sharing your enjoyment of the game and the planning and so on. So please, please, please make your lists public on the Mantic Companion. You know, when you create the list, there's an option somewhere to make the list public so that other people can actually have a look at it. And I find it's always nice when I'm looking at a new faction or even a faction that I know well and I'm kind of stuck or I'm looking for new ideas about how to play it and what I can do with it. And I just browse the existing lists. And you do find interesting surprises sometimes. I'm like, how the hell did they build this list? Like, what's the idea? And maybe the idea is they had no idea and it's just not such a great list. But I find it's always interesting to have a look. And maybe we could like have a fast map somewhere in the name of the list that we create. And then I think you can search through them, right?
Yeah, I must take a look. I did put together before we met now, I did put together a 750 Ogre list, which I've called FastMUP, and I've tried to make it public. I haven't checked, though, to see whether it's on there yet. But, I mean, the Companion is a fantastic way of setting up lists and experimenting and trying them out.
Yeah, and I think it's in the list option menu somewhere. I should open it and have a look.
Yes. See.
And then when you browse the lists, you should be able to see them here. I haven't put my lists as public yet, because I do what I say, not what I do, or something like that. No, I just forgot to do it.
Oh, there we go.
And again, it's all about sharing the enjoyment. And I think for me, it's also kind of a recruitment tool, right? Like I can, you know, talk to the guys and also all the lurkers within the local group, like, hey, we're doing this. We're all starting with an ambush army. It's a very small investment. For less than 100 euros, you can have your full Mantic army, and in 3 months it'll be ready, and we have a gaming day in 3 months. If you've been curious, just jump in and join us and kind of create a dynamic like this, and you bring in new people, and I think it's a very exciting thing. Phase two, again, execution, could say starts December 15th, but technically it starts tonight. If you already have the lists, if you already have some models that you've purchased already in the past, or even if you've already assembled and primed them, like you, Dave, right? Yep. I mean, you could totally claim, yes, I primed those models a month ago or a month and a half ago, because I knew there was something coming, and I'm just that type of planner. Like I plan before, long before it happens. I will say though, trust me on the planning step, and don't just jump in and assemble a model. Or, oh great, I just needed an excuse to spend some more money on models. Do take a moment to really think about, okay, what am I excited about? What do I really want to do for the next 3 months? What army am I excited to put on the table? Finally buying the models that I've looked at for a while, or getting some work done on the models that I've had for a while, and taking some mindful moments before you actually dive into it, to think about how you're going to do it and what you're going to do it, I think it really, really helps. So don't skip that part. Yeah, and then phase three, as I said, as soon as you have some bases and you can start playing some games, well, just jump into it, meet, organize meetups, or look around you, not so far from you, if there are some other groups that have a special hobby day or a gaming day. And just get involved, both on the Facebook group and join the events that we do.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
From Dead Zone, the podcast.
And you're listening to Mantic Universe Podcast.
For everything Mantic under the sun.
Oh yeah, one thing I wanted to mention, of course, the MUP team 100% wants to see tons of posts and pictures of finished armies. So please post tons of work in progress shots. And if you're proud about something you've done, or if you're unsure about something you've done, well, that's something you need to share with all of us. And who knows, I guess it would make sense for Mantic to also show off some of those armies in 3 months, right? Like, isn't it a great material for their blog if they have fully finished, fully playable ambush armies that people have built in the past 3 months? And maybe with a couple of paragraphs, here's how I've built my Rishforge orcs, and here's my special trick to make it work, or you know, all these type of things. I'm sure this will give the whole community very valuable content for all the potential new joiners that will follow and that will be looking for inspiration. So definitely do something like this. And I still hope to find maybe a quick sponsor, or maybe finally convince Mantic to throw in a Mega Army box or something like this as a raffle for everyone who finishes their Ambush Army by the end of February. Just organize, you know, a small thing. And congratulations, you've accomplished this first step. Here's the Mega Army that will help you bring it to 1,500 points or 2,300 points and see you at Clash of Kings or see you at other events. They haven't agreed to it yet, but fingers crossed, maybe it will work.
If we believe strongly enough.
Yeah, I'll message a few of them and keep annoying them until they say yes.
That'll be good. Great.
So it never hurts to ask, you know? Never hurts just, to ask.
For my tournament, they donated 2 mats and a box of the big Terrain Crate 3.
Wow. Yeah.
For the sci-fi, for the trees and everything. Yeah.
Nice, yeah. That's really a cool price.
I've got one, why not? So yeah, so I'm gonna have a full Mantic gaming table at the tournament as well. So
that's really nice. But yeah, again, the price is kind of a potential carrot, and it's always nice to have a carrot in the future. But I personally, I have too many models already, so I don't really need them. and also as an organizer, I wouldn't get to have it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think. From my perspective, anything is good to get as many people as possible across the finish line. And the finish line, or the first finish line at least, is a 750 point army that you guys can take to a gaming day or to the weekly or monthly gaming session with your club. Or maybe it's finally the time that you manage to convince your buddy, come on, let's just do it. Let's buy a starter, or let's buy a couple of starter sets, because those are amazing values and a very solid base to build an army. And it's pretty cheap overall, right? Like 400 euros, or I don't know in pounds, but something similar. You get everything you need for that 750 points, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So not going to be a price, to be honest. So.
All right. So next step, I think. I've said it several times, but for me, the most important is right now, start scheduling a gaming day with your buddies or any type of event, sometimes in February, depending on how much pressure you want to put on yourselves. But I know locally for Berlin, I'm aiming for late February to have a Saturday gaming day, Kings of War, for all of the people who've participated in the Fast Grow, and also use it as an opportunity to, you know, maybe play at the gaming store and kind of do a show of force, like, hey, we have a nice group, we're having fun. And many of us in the gaming group already have several armies, and so we'll probably bring a couple more 750 point lists and do demos, or you know, also welcome people who maybe didn't have time or weren't convinced right away to jump into the fast grow this December, but maybe in February we'll have a Saturday free to come and have a look and see how much fun it is to play Ambush and maybe play their first demo game and participate and join the community. So next step right now, plan a Saturday, Wednesday, whatever it is that your group does sometime in February, and make it big.
Yeah, well, if you're doing that, then I know I get my regular Wednesday, but I'll try and find out a Saturday that me and Dave will be free, or even a Sunday. And we'll set up a demo table and a few more Ambush tables for people to come down, because we are based in the Midlands, so we're fairly central,
right,
40 minutes from Nottingham. Yeah, we'll set up some, because the we're playing serves food as well, so you don't have to worry about food. So we'll figure something out and get something to set, like a small event to celebrate the end of the campaign.
Sounds lovely. Yeah, and I think you can also really see it as not just the end of the fast grow, but also the start of what comes next, right? Because from that moment on, you have this core of your army, like a third of your army, like your clash army, that is painted and ready to actually play games already from that point on, and already looks good, and maybe taught you a few lessons about how can I optimize my paint scheme for the next 750 points that I'm going to paint. And I think it's also a good time to just, you know, a lot of people, all they need to jump in is to see that there's an active community and that people are having a good time. And that if they actually decide, I'm going to try this game, or I'm going to build an army or convert one of my existing army to be playable with Kings of War, well, I will find players to play. And so I think for us already convinced enthusiasts of Kings of War, it's important to go out there and kind of like be, you know, the loud voices and say, hey, you guys are thinking about it. Well, don't think anymore. Just put that Saturday in your calendar, or this Sunday or whatever, and join us and we'll have a great time. And you don't run an army, doesn't matter. I have three of them, or you can borrow one, or I'll let you use my army for one of the games, or we'll play a double games, as Dave mentioned, and it'll be a glorious gaming day, I'm pretty sure.
Good. Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
I know I am. I'm exciting myself when I talk about this, and looking forward to February now. So I think that's a good sign. I mean, at least for my own selfish enjoyment, it's a pretty good thing. So that's a start, right?
Yeah, like I said at the start, it's coming at a good time for me, because I found myself in a dip with my Riftforged Orcs. I'm going back and forth because I'm trying to do my Storm Giants at the minute, and I'm on the skin. I go too light, and then I think I need to bring it down. Then I go, oh no, I've gone too dark, and I have to bring it back up. And before I realise it, I think you can't see it very well, but just the skin.
Ooh. Oh yes.
I've gone for the same colour skin as what's it.
Quite nice.
Yeah, I had to put it down and do other stuff like Asterians and other bits. But I think I'm about just on the skin on that. I'm nearly 25 hours in, and I'm like, I need to stop now because it's going to get silly.
I can relate. I mean, my own giant, like, it was for my Goblins army. I've had it primed for, I think, a good 2 years. And it's a big guy, right? It's a big model. And so it was a bit intimidating. It was like, whew, how do I paint the skin on this guy that it doesn't look too bad, you know? Like, it's something different than when you paint a 28mm miniature that is about that big. The giant is, what, 30 centimeters tall or something? So it's almost a different thing, you know, in how you approach it. It was very intimidating. And then I think I ended up having a demo day planned where I wanted to have the giant in the demo list. And I thought, I can't possibly bring in just a prime giant to a demo day, like, you know, as a demo to an army. I need to throw some paint on this guy. And in a couple of evenings, it was done. It's not so well painted. if you look at it closely, it's a tabletop level paint job, but I'm very happy with it because, yeah, I've unstuck myself on it. So anything that helps you guys move forward with your project is a good thing. So can we just have a quick chat about what is your concrete plan? What do you guys want to work on for the FastMup? What's your project?
I'm going to be my Riffle Yorks. I've started a list. I'm not fully finished it yet. But yeah, it'll be figure the list out, get the bases done, so that I can figure the layout because I like my small diorama. So,
did you play with them already or not yet?
I'm waiting. Once I've wrote my list, I think I've wrote a rough full size list, and I'm just waiting for a time that we're not recording a battle report or anything, so we can play with empty bases with masking tape on with names on.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks a bit silly, but I feel like I guess it depends on the people. For me, it's also motivating. It's like, oh yeah, I really want to play this army now. I need to make it. Like, it's actually cool to play. I need to see it done. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good. Yeah. And I see now, I've just taken a look on the companion. My fast map 750 ogres is up there. So I guess I'm committed completely. And it was just a list thrown together just with a couple of crossbows, a couple of boomers, or one unit of each, just to try them out and see how they work. And then some basic troops. And I know with another 250 points, I can add a warlock and some siege breakers just to try those out. But 750 is just a basic ogre army for the time being with some goblin cavalry that came with that fantasy crazy box. So
I've nice. Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, that's a good
them,
tool.
Get them done and see how they work. So, yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're still a beginner with the game and you don't know how to build a 750 points list, I know whenever I try a new system, I'm always asking, I have no idea. Like, I've read the rules, but it didn't really speak to me. Can you show me what is a starting army, or can you please build my first list for me? And so if you guys are in this situation, like any listener, please reach out and many of us will be happy to, you know, discuss the whole topic with you and maybe see what you like and guide you in your first steps and like write a list that, again, might not be the best list, like groundbreaking list ever, but it doesn't have to be. It just has to be well-rounded, nice and fun to play list without obvious building mistakes. Like, don't forget to have some inspiring, don't overspend on some units, or you know, try to keep something a bit coherent or have an idea of how things will play together. Or as you mentioned, Dave, also it's also perfectly valid to take one of each of the units and try them out, try how you also like painting them and see if you want to paint three more of those or rather three more of that different units. I think the first 750 points that you build is a good time to experiment with the army and see how you like it. And maybe, you know, just leave it there, like I've done for my Empire of Dust. For now, I have 1,000 points of them and no real plan to expand. And I'm perfectly happy with it. Yeah. So, yeah, on my side, well, I haven't bought any Twilight King yet. So, well, that's not true. I've bought the Dungeon Saga Origins once, if that counts. I'm not sure it counts.
Not a unit,
but
yeah.
I've bought a few add-ons on that Kickstarter, so I will have a few of them hopefully reaching me soon. I'm really looking forward to it. But more seriously, it could be a good opportunity to build a Twilight King list. I've started playing around with a 750 points list, or like, hey, what can I build with the contents of the new two-player starter set? Because very often those are the best value you can find, right? And so I have some ideas, and maybe I'll cheat a little bit and buy some of those models and do a test model, see how I like it, and do I feel inspired to have this as my pet project, like my main focus over the next 3 months. And if not, I'll just put them aside, keep them for later, and do something else instead. And the two other ideas that I have at the moment is, well, I do have the Northern Alliance parts from the Ice and Shadow starter that I got. It was last spring, right, when it came out? The re-release of the Northern Alliance and the Nightstalkers.
Yeah.
Because I do have a good, like, pretty big Nightstalker army, and so I definitely wanted the new models. And I thought, might as well get the starter. It's such a great value anyway. I'll find some use for those Northern Alliance models. And I haven't yet, so that could be an excuse for it. With the additional motivation that my wife said, well, if you build me a Northern Alliance army, I'll play it. So maybe that could be also like a group and hobby activity with my wife right there. Like, build the list, and when we, you know, during the holiday, we listen to audiobooks while we both craft. So she does watercolor painting or this type of stuff, and I would do miniature painting. So maybe if I paint Northern Alliance, I could motivate her to also grab a brush and paint a few models. So that's my second option for it. And the third option is I'm very tempted to go back to my first love with tabletop gaming, which is goblins. I have to confess, I'm very much like Rob Berman. Well, I'm not as talented, but I definitely am a goblin lover. I haven't started reading the book, but it's on my bedside table. It will come up pretty soon. And yeah, also like the ambush starter set for goblins is just insane. It's so good. And so I've built a list for it, like a 750 points list. Might have made it public, and if not, I'll do it right after we are done recording. There's like two ambush boxes, a whiz and a war trombone. And so that's, again, less than 100 euros, especially if you use the voucher on the Mantic website. And with this, you make four regiments of rabbles, you know, just 80 minis if you go full model counts. No big deal. It's quite easy for the next 3 months. I'm joking. But again, it might be a challenge also. Hey, let's make them really as simple as possible so that it actually does fit within the next 3 months. Because what's been stopping me from actually redoing my teenager years goblins that I loved so much is, how do I tackle building the 8 regiments of rabble that I most likely will need? So starting with 4. Sounds like a good plan. I'd be halfway there. Yeah. So anyway. And then on top of that, I would build a Mincer Mob troop. And I think you can build like a chariot also with the Mincer that is inside those ambush boxes.
Yes, you can. Because I bought that Goblin starter because it was such good value.
Right.
I had two Mincers in there, but one is going to be a chariot for my Ogre Warlord.
Right.
So basically, it was a spare chariot. So I thought I'd rather use it for that.
Yes. Yeah, so yay, my plan would work. Yep, get those two boxes, a whiz. I might have one from Vanguard already, and a war trombone. I put one of the 80 rabble onto a chariot and naming King of the Goblins. Yep. And boom, that's it. 750 points of goblins. So yeah. That's my plan. What do you guys think? Which one would you take if you were me? Don't say all three of them. That was my idea, and it's a bad idea.
I think goblins personally, but the other thing is you could put it down to a vote to the Facebook page.
Yeah, I think you do. I think to make yourself it should be goblins. Paint a load of goblins. You'll enjoy it in the end of the day. You will actually in the long run you'll be satisfied with that.
Yeah, I mean it's. The good part of it is also like the challenge, right? So maybe the smart way to do it is I get myself new toys because I haven't bought those goblins yet. So I buy the goblins, I build the goblins, and I help my wife build the Northern Alliance,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I already have the model, so might as well, you know, show her how it's done and maybe help her out a little bit. And yeah, maybe that's a plan. All right. Yeah, I think at this stage, what I want to do is challenge you listeners to come up with cool ambush lists, ideas, go through your own collections of minis that you haven't used yet, or look at all of the you know, mega army boxes or army boxes or ambush boxes and check it all directions and build a bunch of 750 or 500 or whatever size you like. Actually, it's your game. You do what you want, but build lists. Because when I say build a list and then never touch it, I never said you can't do 50 versions of it before you decide this is the one that I want to actually do. This is the one that I'm really excited about. And this is the one that I will spend the next 3 months with. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. I guess.
I guess we could pretty much wrap up the show now. Do you guys have any closing advice or notes or things you're looking forward to, or what's your message to the world, to your fellow Kings of War ambush enthusiasts and potential beginners that are listening?
So for me, it's go with a theme. And once you got a theme, don't just keep thinking and planning. Just grab a base and put it down, and you'll soon find out if it's the theme you want to go with. I think once you've got it down on the base, you're then going to be inspired to carry on doing the rest of them. And so that's the big thing for me.
So try out, make mistakes, and adjust, and keep going.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't, believe it or not, I don't do test models. I go all in on the first model.
So you're like Chris. I'm an obsessive planner. I will do six different types of test models and then realize I hate all of them. I'm never going to paint this army. I have done this a couple of times. Or on the opposite, like I'll do, again, five test models and like, ooh, I really like this one. And then in the next 2 weeks, boom, 2,300 points painted because I really found the perfect scheme, the perfect technique that just gives me the result I love. And it's so exciting that I just run with it. So I guess different people, different vibes, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm quite lucky because I've got that what they call the mind's eye, where I can picture something and I can see in my head if it's going to work or not. So I don't have the need to paint six models to see what scheme I want to go with. I'm lucky enough to be able to plan it in my head and see what's going to work that way. And it's not failed me yet.
Sounds good. I just say grab that ambush box, couple of ambush boxes. The rule set in there is great. The game works really well, and it's an excellent place to start. It's a manageable amount of models to be painting and assembling. It's a really good place to go. It's perfect.
Nice. Yeah, and for me, I think, yeah, don't overthink it. It's kind of like funny coming from me, but you know. And just ask questions if you have any, like share whatever you're doing, whatever your mind's at on the Facebook groups, like the Facebook Fanatics or the specific groups from your faction or on the Kings of War forum. If you're like me, a bit angry at Facebook these days. I don't like them breaking the law. And anyway, just get engaged with the community and just get started. And again, plan a gaming day already now. Pick a date sometime late February. Bring a couple of your buddies that already play Kings of War and maybe will start a new army with you. Maybe not, but at least they can show up. And bring a new buddy. Like say, hey, I'm super excited about, like, next time you go to your club or you go play somewhere or something. Hey, I'm doing this over the next 3 months. I'm buying this and this. It's going to cost me 70 euros or whatever, and I'm going to get a small starter army out of it. I'm pretty excited about it. And then who knows? Maybe you'll bring in a new person into the game. And that's what we need these days. And I think you'll be thankful to have more people to enjoy Kings of War with in the future. So spend the energy and bring in new people, and it'll be worth it in the end.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, well, thanks guys for joining me today on this episode and trying to organize my thought and discuss it with you. I'm super excited, in case you couldn't hear it, and really looking forward to what everyone will be doing with their armies. And yeah, I love seeing, you know, a bunch of new armies popping up and people coming up with cool schemes or finally finishing some projects. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, and looking forward to the gaming day. We'll probably play doubles sometimes late February here in Berlin. I might even announce it a bit more publicly and make it an open event in case someone wants to travel. So let's see about that, how it's gonna work out. All right, thanks guys, and till next time.
That's a pleasure. Cheers.
Thank you.